Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Lou. I'm joined, as always, by co-host Josh Hart. Josh, how you been doing, man?
I've been doing well. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You have a bit of a tan, bit of color?
Yeah, a bit.
Looking good. How was Mexico?
Mexico was amazing. You know, I got to highly recommend that to everybody.
Mexico City. Who would have thunk it? Mexico. It's nice there.
Yeah. I mean, it turns out it's one of the most popular destinations in the world for that reason. But no, I mean, just, you know, next time you go to Mexico, don't just go straight to the beach. Like, go to Mexico City. It's just a lot of culture there, a lot of history,
a lot
to learn. Beautiful city. Such great architecture.
What was your first Mexican sunrise like?
That almost sounds like something else. I don't know why.
I don't know.
That sounded super dirty for some reason. It was great. You know, I mean, I was on vacation, so I slept until 10 o'clock every day.
Oh, my goodness. After staying up late to watch Raptors games?
Yeah, you know. And we can honestly start there because as great of a vacation it was to be away and to refresh everything, like, I just found myself consuming as much Raptor stuff as possible during the thing. I missed the team.
Yeah, I cannot believe when you posted a reaction show after the Nets win. After the Timberwolves win.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I felt bad about it. We had gone out to dinner, me and my partner, and I got back, and she went to sleep, and I was like, all right, finally I get to watch this game. A 5-year-old tried to sell me a Lucy.
Where did you watch this game?
In my Airbnb, man. I just
just a 5-year-old rolled up midnight, yo.
Yeah, do you want a single Paul Mall? I'm like, no, I'm good. And yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, like, you just can't. This team is irresistible. Like, it really is. You know?
They have been unbelievable. The week without them has felt like a million years. Just the boredom.
There's been a lot of thirsting over Giannis.
Yeah, and kind of. I mean, he looked great in the All-Star game. He completely dominated that second quarter.
I mean, look, Giannis looks great in the first three quarters, man.
of the season and of the game.
Yeah. I mean, luckily for the Bucks, they win every game by the third quarter anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, they're good. But, yeah, fourth quarter Giannis was a little suspect. But, you know, honestly, a lot of fourth quarter Team Giannis players were suspect.
Yeah. And Kemba looked horrible. Nick
and
Nurse.
Embiid was the only guy who and Kyle's defense.
It was just strange that Nick Nurse couldn't figure out it's the All-Star game. Not only of these guys are going to have a ton of chemistry, but and having Joel Embiid and Giannis as your front court, like, spacing is not going to be easy to come by.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. Like, there's no good offense in the fourth quarter of that All-Star
also
game.
You know, you could have drafted the teams better, Giannis. I'm just saying. But, you know, I do appreciate it. I thought the game was amazing.
But we don't need Giannis to worry about roster management and construction. We have Masai for that.
Yeah. Listen, Masai and Bobby will take care of you. But, yeah, I mean, it was a fun break. I definitely miss all the content. You know, run it back. Shout out to
thanks,
you and Alex.
And Katie.
And Katie for holding it down. And DF West. And Kayla as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex had himself a time, but, you know, it's over for him now. I'm back. I'm here. I'm back, all right? Like Steph Curry.
Yeah, it's been great. But let's, before we look forward to the rest of the season, let's look back. Our good friend Vivek, Big V, published a great article in Complex today or very recently, where he looks back on that 15-game winning streak that the Raptors put together before the break. And we're going to welcome to the show to go over it. Vivek, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. I just want to know, am I being charged for the minute per minute by Professor Lou over here?
Okay, wow.
Yeah, well, you forgot that. You get to plug that later in the show.
Sure, yeah. But I'm teaching a class.
I'm here for some valuable lessons. Coverage.
Yeah, Will's master class coming soon.
Yeah, you're going to owe me $4.50 after this call. Big V, man, listen, you wrote this great piece. Tell us about the piece, and let's talk about the greatest memories from the longest win streak in
sports history.
Yeah, Canadian sports. I can't believe there's not been a Canadian team that's won 15 games.
So the Wolfpack won like a ton of games, but for some reason it doesn't count.
You know, we got that's a ruin about that one. But tell us, man, your 15-game win streak, what's been your favorite moment?
Favorite moment for me, I think, has to be the one where they were able to get over the hump and get it to 12. They've had a couple of streak that have got to 11.
Yes.
And you look at that game, I think everyone was sort of itching for that Indiana game because they had beat a bunch of sub-500 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative was sort of like, oh, the Raptors aren't that good against the plus-500 teams. Mm-hmm. And then they were struggling. So for them to go on that run where they closed it out late, went on that crazy run to finish the game,
yep.
and Ibaka to hit that three, I think that was definitely my favorite moment of the win streak. What about you guys?
My favorite's got to be Norm Powell taking over in the fourth on MLK Day against the Atlanta Hawks, mostly because in the middle of a work day, getting to enjoy Norm Powell propaganda on the timeline.
Oh, my God.
What could be better? What could be better than seeing Norm Powell put up 17 of of 27 points, which is unbelievable. He really, he really was unstoppable in that bench unit that put together that huge run to win the game. That was probably
three
my favorite
over one. Vince.
Yeah,
that was, bro.
That was the
my
one.
God.
Yeah, no, an all-time great Jamaican, an all-time great Raptor. Norm Powell. He's
it's
like
Usain Bolt and Norm Powell.
Usain Bolt and Norm Powell.
Shout out Asafa Powell too.
Asafa Powell, didn't he like get? Never mind.
All right, forget it.
Will, your favorite moment from the run?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to take that Ibaka three because I do, you know, I think Ibaka has been a central figure in all of this. You know, obviously this run has coincided a lot with Mark going down and Ibaka stepping up and averaging like 20 and 10 as a starter has been incredible. But since we already took that, I'm going to go with win number 15 against Minnesota only because I think it really highlighted the difference between a losing franchise and a winning franchise. And I don't even mean this as slander, but like the franchise player on the other side, Karl-Anthony Towns, was getting guarded by Rondae Hollis-Jefferson because Serge had a cold and Mark is out. And so they started Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. They told him 2 hours before the game, hey, man, you're going to start, you know, you're going to guard Karl-Anthony Towns. He said, no problem.
Yeah.
And our 10th man steps up and just shuts down the superstar. And meanwhile, in the fourth quarter, I mean, that game really went back and forth just because there's a lot of offense and very little defense. But you saw the way Pascal was making two-way plays, scoring on one end, then coming back and blocking Karl-Anthony Towns multiple times. And then you saw what Towns was doing and also what Russell was doing. Like, obviously, it's not fair to compare the whole situation. There's a new team. Like, they had, like, 8 new players at the deadline or something like that. But it was just very exhilarating to watch.
Well, they were on
that.
A one-game winning streak coming into the game.
Oh, my God. That's right, yeah. I forgot Ryan Saunders said they were 1-0.
I remember beginning of the season, I thought Ryan Saunders had a chance at being the coach of the year. I apologize. I've had a lot of bad takes here, but that might be the worst.
Yeah. But, no, listen, wow. the whole 15-game win streak, it was just incredible, and like as your article points out, man, there's a lot of great moments from it. You know that Sixers game kind of gets lost in all.
It gets overlooked. Kyle Lowry setting the all-time assist record.
Yep.
To Terrence Davis. Coinciding with the Raptors being named All-Stars, like it was just a really good time around the team, and it's been exciting, and it'll probably be this will be the most memorable part of the season until the parade in June.
Wow.
But Eastern Conference Parade, you remember when they go out to Jurassic Park and they show all the fans?
The unofficial one at Young and Dundas?
That's what we got. Yeah, when everybody runs into Young Dundas Square, waits for the lights to turn, and then runs back out to wait patiently.
Jeez.
It's still Canada, after all.
I was going to say, yeah.
Vivek, do you have an honorable mention?
It's amazing.
Hi, this is Jeff Cash.
I knocked my iPad over. Do you have an honorable mention from the run?
Oh man, the Jack Armstrong rant on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh god, yes. That was awesome.
When Jim Bailyn called timeout, that was epic. I mean, really, what was the timeout for,
bro? It was
one of those stupid things where he was just like, "Oh, look at me, I'm coaching all the way to the end, and I'm going to teach my players this and that."
Yeah, to punch
now
in and punch
he's
out.
Not doing that job anymore.
Yeah, it's really been horrible to see the kind of teams that the Raptors played. I'm really excited for the schedule to get more interesting.
Yeah,
it's not crazy difficult, but they play some real teams at least.
Yeah, and that was the only downside of this win streak was that, you know, they didn't face as many top tier teams.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can look at it like that Spurs game, especially under the circumstances of what happened that day and the tragedy. They fought through, and that was a very tough game in the fourth quarter. They won that. You know, finding ways to beat Indiana twice. Back to back is very, very difficult in the NBA to beat a team back to back. And, you know, just, you know, that Sixers game, that OKC game to start off the run was very tough. And so it's just like, you know, it just cemented the fact that the Raptors are a team that can, you know, they just find ways to win. That's what good teams do. They find a way to win. And I really enjoy that they found different ways to win.
And different guys.
There's different scripts. Guys stepping up, leading the team and scoring, things like that. So
All right.
And I think that's the thing that gets overlooked is when you look at a 15-game winning streak, they're playing so well that you do sort of ignore the injuries. And it's like, man, they did this despite all the injuries that they had to deal with.
Yeah.
And the regular season, the 82-game schedule is designed to get you sort of week in and week out. And I thought when it came to an end, that loss to the Nets kind of highlighted how the regular season is designed to do that, right? Like, you're bound to have nights where you just don't have it. And so for them to sustain it for an entire month in terms of calendar days, I thought that was incredible.
Yeah, one hell of a January. All right, Big V, thanks for joining in. Where can people find this article?
You can find it on Complex Canada on the website. You can find it on Twitter on my profile. You can find me on at Vivek M. Jacob. And besides that, you can also find my work at Raptors Republic.
Hell yeah. RR forever. Yeah. All right, Big V, be good. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, peace. Big V, man of the people.
The greatest.
The lines are busy already. Let's take a call from Samir in Toronto. Samir, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much. How you doing?
You're good, man. How are you?
I'm good. So I have two questions. My first question is about the buyout market. What do you guys think if the Raptors go that route, is a need, or not a need, because I think the team's pretty good, but something that they would look for?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? So one thing that's been concerning me is Nick Nurse had back-to-back practice days. And, you know, on the first one, right after the All-Star break, he was like, well, you know, I'm excited to get Mark back. He's around the corner, and we should be getting back anytime, you know, now, which is kind of what we expected. And then the following day, he was asked about the same thing, like, hey, when's Mark coming back? And he's like, well, you know, we just want to be careful. As long as he comes back before the playoffs, but, you know, give him like 8 to 12 games before the playoffs.
And yeah, I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, that's a big change. I don't know what they found or what the tests showed or anything like that. But it does seem to be something there. And, you know, if that's the case, I do want to see the Raptors maybe pick up a center there just as sort of a little bit more dependable kind of option.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a buyout guy. I think, obviously, people have pointed out Bismack because Bismack has been a fan favorite here. But even like a Joakim Noah, who's like a free agent, just like, I'm not asking for a guy to come in and like crack the playoff rotation or anything, but a solid vet where it's not just Serge sort of burning himself out or Chris Boucher getting into early foul trouble because he's super skinny or Rondé playing a lot of center. I mean, we've seen these guys do it, but some more insurance there just because it doesn't seem like Mark's health is something that can be relied on right now.
Yeah, and before we put some water on the Markieff Morris thing, I don't think he can play center. And when he plays center, he's a small ball center. We have Serge Ibaka, who is better than Markieff Morris in every aspect, probably, at the top of his game.
Yeah.
So he's not someone that I'm too interested in the Raptors go after. I'm more concerned with the Raptors finding another backup big who can play real center minutes. So
there's no needle movers.
Sorry?
There's no needle movers. You're not going to find anyone that's going to really move the needle that much, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing with buyout market is, like, it's not sexy. It really is not sexy. It's like you're going to a garage sale. Like, it's stuff that people want to throw out, and maybe you can keep it in as patio furniture or something, you know? Like,
we need a player that we can leave outside and, you know.
And also another question about what are you guys looking for in the second half? Like for me, I'm looking at their record against teams above 500. I think they're 9-12 right now. And then also, can Siakam have a game? What was it? Game 4 against Philly. Can he have a game? Game 5 against Milwaukee. Obviously, he's not Kawhi, but you know what I mean. Like one or two of those games where he can say, "All right, I'm going to take over and get us this win."
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come in moments. I think the biggest thing with Pascal right now is consistency.
Yeah,
I think what we're seeing. Obviously, he got off to that incredible start to the year, and then he hasn't really met that level consistently after that with the injuries and things like that. I think, you know, consistency is big for him. You know, we've seen even within a course of the game, Pascal will have games where he'll score like 12 in the first quarter, then like 2 in the second quarter, then 2 in the third quarter, and then like 15 in the third quarter. You're like, wow, this guy going over 30. But it's like, you know, it's
deceptive.
It's a little deceptive in that way. It comes in spurts for him. And also, I think it's like he has to manage his energy, man. Being a number one option for, you know, taking double teams and things like that, like, it just requires a huge amount of endurance. And, you know, I think we have seen him wear down a little bit. And that's where I'm hoping the All-Star break refresh them.
Yep.
And he can be good to go for the second half of the year. But yeah, I'm looking for that. I do think he has it in him, though, to take over for three, Absolutely. 4 minutes for sure.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is managing minutes for the guys at the top of your rotation and making sure that you solidify the opportunities that the guys at the bottom of that nine-man rotation will have. Like, what if anything, are we going to see of Chris Boucher in the stretch run? I think is important. I think that what's really important as the team gets healthy and everybody gets back is guys knowing their role in the rotation and what to expect in playoffs. Because OG's gonna have a very different spring this year than he had last year. Obviously, he wasn't playing, but his role on the team is continuing to expand. I'd like to see it sort of get formalized to him to being in a 28 plus minutes per game, picking up the best defender every night in, night out, because that's what's going to be asked of him in the playoffs. So that, and making sure that Kyle doesn't play too many minutes, and that Fred, like, you know, as much as we look back at last season and Fred playing great, Fred was pretty hurt and pretty banged up and managed those injuries throughout the playoff run. I'd like to see Fred and Kyle enter the playoffs healthy. That's
all right,
that's
guys. All right, guys. Thanks.
Cool. Have a Appreciate good it,
man. Peace.
All right, you too, bye.
All right, before we get to Ben in Ajax, we're going to clear up one of our KFC hotline calls.
Yeah.
And so the first one we got from Maxwell.
Maxwell, welcome to the room.
Hey, Lou, in the past post-game wrap-ups, you talked about the Raptors' intensity and unrelenting determination. Do you think these characteristics come at a cost, which would be the series of injuries this team has had to deal with this year? I look forward to your thoughts on this. Take it easy.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it the last time we did the show. Someone called in, I forget who, I apologize for not knowing the guy, but it is a trade-off that the Raptors play defense and guys get hurt because they're trying hard and exerting themselves.
It's true.
But, you know, ultimately, I don't know, they have depth. They sort of create an opportunity for people to step up. And also, it's just, you know, you play to win the game.
Yeah.
The Raptors have 40 wins right now, in large part because they play hard, they play defense. If you got to lose a couple of guys due to injuries for it, that's fine. I think the Raptors also do a pretty good job of managing these people's injuries and giving them ample time to come back. Like, look at Mark right now. So, I don't know.
I think the other part of that is the Raptors came into the season with a title to defend and a reputation to uphold. You know, there's, for half a decade, the book out on the Raptors was that they were a regular season team and come to playoffs. These guys would always fall apart, and to many, Kawhi was the only difference maker, and that was all that there was. And I think there was enough pride in that locker room that they came out and said, we're going to put some people on notice and let these MFers know that this is a team that's not just a regular season team, and we can go out and we can dominate the regular season and run it back. You know, Masai himself said, we're going to come out and we're going to die trying if we're not winning the championship. I think the team has that kind of reputation that... Or that perspective on things, that if last year was a fluke, we're going to make sure it isn't this year. So,
yeah,
they're going to play hard and they get hurt and it's fine. But
and I always go back to this example, but Andrew Wiggins has missed like maybe 5 games in his career total, I think, over like course of 5 years. Part of that is because he doesn't play defense.
Facts Kellerman.
Yeah.
All right.
So
Ben from Ajax is on line one. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. My question is that can the Raptors beat the Bucks?
Can they?
Yes.
In a 7-game series?
Yes.
I think it's possible, but you need a couple of things to go your way. Number one, obviously, who's guarding Giannis?
Yeah.
OG's going to get that assignment?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Can he do it for Spurs? I'm sure he can. Is OG an incredibly talented defender? Yes. One of my concerns is, are the referees going to allow OG to guard him?
Good question.
Because Giannis plays a very physical style.
Yeah.
And it's up to referees' discretion to say, I'm allowing him to defend him one way or the other, because he comes at the defender with a lot of force, and it's up to the defender to come back with him forth. When it was Kawhi guarding Giannis, part of the benefit of that, not only is Kawhi a two-time defensive player of the year, but it's Kawhi Leonard. You're not going to foul Kawhi Leonard out of the game.
Yeah.
Is OG going to be consistently allowed to guard Giannis? And then, you know, the other part is just, can the Raptors score on the Bucks? The Bucks are a really good defense. And they kind of play, it's similar to last year, it's a bit of a gimmick in a way. To me, I'm not it's not like a Steph Curry janky defense thing, but they drop their centers back and they take away the middle of the floor and they take away the corners. So they basically take away that whole backstrip. So you have the front of the court to take care of. Do you have a guy like Kawhi did last year who can get you two pull-up threes because Brook Lopez is sagging back in the fourth quarter on the road to get you back in the game? We know Kyle Lowry can hit pull-up threes. We know Pascal's working on that. But without that extra element offensively, can the Raptors score on the Bucks? Those are my two biggest issues right there.
That's how you do it.
Underdogs. They're for sure underdogs.
Yeah, but we know exactly what they need to do. Can the Raptors shoot over the drop scheme that the Bucks are going to throw at them? And can OG and Anobi make sure that Giannis is a B superstar?
Yeah.
Because if he's an A-plus superstar, it's over. But if you can, you know, make – if Giannis at the end of the season – at the end of the series, we grade him out and we're like, oh, he had like a B-plus maybe, the Raptors have a shot at winning. But that's it. Like, it's – those are, one is fairly straightforward, shooting over the drop scheme. The second, slowing down Giannis, is going to be very, very difficult.
But
I was thinking that maybe the Raptors could go big, like they have Lowry, OG, Pascal, Ibaka, and Mark, because that would be a really good defensive lineup to like stop Giannis.
Sure.
Would that work?
How do they score on the other end of the court? Because they're not going to be layups.
Yeah. I mean, look, listen, I think offensively that's going to be the biggest challenge for the Raptors in any sort of playoff setting. And if they're going to win series and go deep in the playoffs, it's going to have to come on their defense. But that's what they did last year, too. That's why the Raptors are 40-15 right now, is they're an incredible defense. So I think, honestly, if OG can handle that matchup a little bit, and I'm not even saying, like, every single game shut down Giannis. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But, I mean, like, you know, what Ben Wallace did to Shaquille O'Neal back in, like, 2004, that kind of level. Where Shaq still got his numbers, but he wasn't as efficient. Yeah. And he wasn't in, you know, more turnovers and things like that. So, I mean, it's going to have to be an upset. But, you know, the Bucks are an incredible team to, you know, take down. They're a regular season juggernaut. And, quite honestly, in the playoffs last year, they were pretty good outside of, you know, facing the Raptors.
The one thing you're not going to have to worry about, Ben, is Eric Bledsoe. Chris Middleton,
that's true,
things of that nature.
Hey, man, Chris Middleton, people are saying he's going to be an All-NBA guy this year.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, neither. All right, Ben, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling. Keep listening.
Right. I appreciate it, man.
Peace.
Yo, I'm serious. I saw real earnest takes. And I'm like, okay, fine, on a per-minute basis, he's doing this and this. I'm like, get out of here, man.
Yeah, I don't get it.
What did Chris Middleton do in the All-Star game again? In a competitive All-Star game? Like 2 of 7?
Yikes.
Again? In a playoff
setting? Yeah, he's 2 of 7 when it counts.
Oh, my God. I really do. I, you know, Giannis, you'll be safe soon.
Yeah, truly.
Exciting moment.
Exciting moment. You know what it is. On line two, we have the people's favorite, Vitaly from Moscow.
He don't miss.
Vitaly, welcome back to the show.
How you doing, guys? It's funny you mentioned Chris Middleton, All-NBA. It's this year, he's doing a lot of 50-40-90. That's 50% hustle, 40% skill, 90% concentrated power and will, and 100% big fraud. 100%.
Oh, wow.
Shout out Mike Shinoda one time.
Shout out Fort Minor, man.
Oh. Remember the name, baby. You already know. You already know. William, you were on vacation, yes, Mexico?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was really good, man. I spent a week in Mexico City, sort of soaked in the culture, the history, the food, and everything like that. And then I left for the beach for 3 days to get a very modest tan, I would say. Not a big tan person.
You know what it is? You came back and you look like you do in like the middle of August, and everybody looks like they do in the middle of February.
Yeah. There you go.
You look healthy. We all.
I saw a lot of Russians at the hotel I was in. They were all sitting in the lobby, I think, playing cards and having very clear drinks.
Yeah, we have a game called Durak, if you heard. But we have a big Russian card game.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
That's cool. One.
But I appreciate you still gave us one podcast. So respect. You did it for the culture. We need that.
I appreciate it, man. What have you been doing with All-Star Break? What do you think of the fourth quarter of the All-Star game? Do you watch it?
You know what? I love the new format. I hate that it was Chris Paul who came up with it, because I hate Chris Paul, big fraud. But it unfortunate it ended with a free throw, but it was good.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah.
It actually exposed who can play basketball, because as soon as it started, you see Kemba Walker, he's shitting his pants. Like, it shows you who can play in the real game. So.
Yeah. Yeah, like James Harden was getting attacked consistently. Like,
see James Harden sweating out booze.
It's it's one thing when a coach decides to attack you. It's another thing when your peers are like, "Nah, this is the guy."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is the guy you go attack.
No, yeah, Giannis just hates Harden with his whole heart.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. Like, he'll fit right in Toronto. It's hilarious.
Oh my god! No, it was really great. And the one thing that's underrated. Even though Team LeBron won. LeBron in that fourth quarter?
He was terrible. Why didn't he pull up from half court?
1 of 7. And he got blocked twice by Giannis.
See, the thing about LeBron, sometimes you know that he thinks that eventually this footage will end up in a Nike brand commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to pull up from half court in the All-Star game to win it.
Like, there was,
don't do that.
You were not going to make that
shot. You're not Trae Young.
Yeah. And him denying Kawhi the ball was, I just thought it was perfect. It perfectly explains why Kawhi did not go to the Lakers to be the third option.
LeBron needs more help, man. He can't win with those cats.
Don't worry, they're getting Markieff Morris.
In the All-Star game.
Everything's going to change when they get Markieff Morris. They're going to have two Kyle Kuzmas out there.
Whoa.
Okay, well, guys, let me get into it because I have a big fraud of the week.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay. Let's go.
My big fraud of the week. His Finals MVP is a big fraud. His potential Hall of Fame candidacy is a big fraud. And the idea that he's still a quality NBA player is a big fraud. My big fraud is none other than Andre Iguodala.
Wow.
I read it. He looked terrible yesterday.
Oh, man, he got crossed
yesterday,
up.
Yesterday, in 22 minutes, he was minus 28. The Greg Monroe special.
Yeah.
That's the weather.
The Al Horford treatment.
That's the weather in Moscow right now?
Basically. But it's not even his play. It's not his fault. What really pissed me off, when they finally agreed to trade him, I heard this on the Low Post. They wanted to trade him to Miami, and Iguodala was like, you know what? No. I want to play in Los Angeles. I will not go. And he forced them to give him this ridiculous contract just so he could go to Miami. Are you kidding? What a joke this guy is.
Yeah, he really did not go out well in Memphis.
I think he wanted to just retire and in Golden State, and then, you know, because he's been doing a lot of investing, and he's in that sector, so he just wanted to be in the Bay Area, invest in tech and stuff like that. And Miami's like, fine, if this is what it takes, we'll give you $15 million. Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to judge him off one game after he's basically sat out the whole year, but damn.
Every ounce of the 2004 draft class he came out of? He's been around forever.
He played with AI.
Yeah, and maybe he'll be okay. It's just, I understand player empowerment. I understand the respect. Mm-hmm. But wherever, if they trade you to Charlotte, you have a contact, you play in Charlotte, man.
You
don't want to go to Miami, a playoff team? Have you been to South Beach? They have what they call in South Beach, bad bitches and palm trees. You don't want to go play there? Are you kidding me?
Real big joke. I love the attitude that the Memphis Grizzlies players had. Like, John Morant was, it's awesome.
Yeah, no, they came out and just said it. Like,
F him. I rate it. It was unbelievable stuff. And he is looking like a huge fraud. If unless he's able to contribute to, you know, hashtag Heat culture, I think he's gonna be exposed at the end of this year. And then
John Morant said okay boomer to Andre Iguodala and sealed Rookie of the Year right there.
It's fact.
Yeah, those guys are fiery. I love the energy. I wanted to ask you a quick one about tonight we play Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me flow to this. Two very good young players, Pascal Siakam, Devin Booker. You're forecasting the next 2 years. Who do you think in the end will be the better player and have the better career?
I love Booker, man.
Me too.
He's really gone to a point where he doesn't have a big weakness in his offensive game.
Yeah,
he's not elite defensively, and Pascal makes way more defensive contribution.
Yeah,
but I love Booker's offensive game. It's way more complete than Pascal's. To be honest, like it is. Like he shoots a three, he can get it in the mid range. He can drive to the hole. He can get fouls. He passes well. You know, but I mean, overall, that's a two way player. I still would take Pascal.
Yeah, I think that you have to take Pascal as a two-way player, but Devin
Booker's good.
He's really good.
On paper, Booker has the pedigree, you know, Kentucky lottery pick. Mm. But I think what Pascal has going for him, obviously, Man, I saw this guy's GQ segment, the 10 things.
Yeah.
I love this guy. His energy, he's so humble. If there is one all-time Raptor who we draft and will stay with us whole career that I think I could see, it might be him, because just not enough great things to say about him. Unbelievable.
No, he's a high character, seems to really love playing here. The fans can't get enough. Yeah. I think Pascal will be here for a really long time. Yeah, I think Booker's is going to be the bigger celebrity no matter what. Flashier game. Not a great media market, but America versus Canada, it's not close. Sure. I think that Pascal Siakam will always be a player who's kind of for the heads. You know, just like a real, like, analytics Twitter. Like
Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry also. Even like Bam Adebayo right now, he's just sort of someone that a lot of people like, but...
It's not flashy.
He's not flashy.
Booker probably eventually he will demand a trade somewhere in Los Angeles and maybe he'll have a good career, but I don't see it. The Phoenix Suns, obviously, Sarver, his garbage owner, they will hold him back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I do hope he figures it out because I quite like him as a player, but that's that on that.
All right, Vitaly. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it.
Peace.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers. You don't miss, man.
You don't miss.
He really doesn't miss.
Yeah, it's cool. I hope that he figures it out. I hope that DeAndre Ayton eventually comes on and is able to contribute because that team's going nowhere fast. I mean, desirable-ish market to live in. Good weather. Like, real moments of significant basketball history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, terrible owner. And it just it doesn't seem like they'll be able to fix it.
But, I mean, at least this year, it seems like they got a good coach.
Yeah, they got a good coach.
And the system is better. So we'll see what happens in, like, 2-3 years. All right, let's take another call.
All right, we have Rachel from Ottawa on line 1. Rachel, how's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Doing well. Will's taking a drink of water. I'm feeling fine.
I'm good.
Will's Will's a little dehydrated, a lot of mezcal.
I've drank nothing but mezcal and Corona for like 3 days.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. If the Raptors made it to the finals, do you think they would fare better against the Lakers or the Clippers?
I love this question.
Yeah, we get it every once in a while. I like it. Every time, it's fun to think
I love
about.
This question. I would rather face the Lakers.
Yeah, me too.
They're just not as good as the Clippers.
Yeah.
I also want to be
able... I
don't want
to see Kawhi in the playoffs.
Yeah,
man.
I don't want to him at all.
I saw what Kawhi does in the playoffs. I'm good. I mean, I've seen what LeBron does in the playoffs, too. I understand. But he did that in the past.
Yeah.
Past tense. And Kawhi is currently a 28-year-old at the peak of his career.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard will be, if he's here for the finals, feeling great, Kawhi and Dine, going all of his favorite spots.
No more Kawhi and Dine, man.
He's going all of his favorite locations in the city.
I got to serve him like
expired
food.
Going to his favorite cafes.
Give him that Joel Embiid diet. That's the only way.
It'd be fun to get over the LeBronto stuff. If the Raptors are able to compete against the Lakers in the finals, that'd be cool. But sure. The Raptors are in the finals. Yeah. We could
probably contain AD a little bit. It's mostly just LeBron ball where he like forces a switch and then gets a point guard on him and then backs him down and then draws double and then kicks it out to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
The one thing that we have to think, if the Lakers are here for the finals, Danny Green, Nav Bhatia, we have
Right, yeah. Danny Green will switch sides
join
the Raptors. So that's
maybe you're onto something, Rachel. Yeah. Maybe we need to...
Harrison will be here. Yeah, let's do it, man.
Let's do it. I would love if the Lakers were in town. Harrison, shout out to Harrison one time.
Yeah, come on the pod.
Come on the pod. Get like or have us on your set for your pod.
Yeah, we're not that big. he's getting the other Josh Hart, not you.
All right.
And Lou Williams, not me. So.
All right. I have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Do you think either Denver or Utah could take down either of the LA teams? Because they're doing really well in the standings, but we never hear about that. What do you think about that?
It's unfortunate.
Denver, yes. Utah, a little less to me.
Really?
I don't think Utah has a playoff game yet. I think Denver knows how to win. Will know how to win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think I know how they will win in the playoffs. Utah, I don't know. But yeah, do I think that either of those teams could upset? For sure.
I mean, who on the Clippers is guarding Nikola Jokic? Like, yeah, they might have to put Kawhi on this guy. Like, actually, though, which center, like, Patrick Patterson is going to roll out there and with the center?
Patrick Patterson is going to pick up Jokic half court when done.
Yeah.
No. Slap the floor.
No. Him and his team points are not going to be able to handle that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jokic is probably the biggest mismatch in that series, I guess. The thing with the Nuggets is I don't feel like they have enough wing defenders. Torrey Craig is good, but, like, consistently, I don't know.
Yeah,
and again, you need a lot of wing defenders to guard Kawhi and Paul George. That's a really big.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. It's just so tough because, like, again, like the Lakers and the Clippers have four of the best 10 players in the NBA.
Yeah,
it's just really tough to beat.
Probably four of the best, like, eight. Like, it's,
yeah, we'll see. Paul, I mean, come on, Paul George, playoff P.
Playoff P.
Yeah,
playoff P does struggle city, but he might. I don't know. He's had great, like, playoff performances.
Oh, he has. Yeah.
Ever since he left Indiana, that it's been the problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, it's hard for him to beat Joe Ingles, you know? It's just, how can you expect someone to beat Joe Ingles?
How could you? All right, Rachel, enjoy Ottawa. Has winter loot started yet?
Yeah, I think it's actually coming to an end in the next week or two.
I'm out of touch.
We're so local with all our references.
Yeah.
It's okay. I haven't been since I was a child. So
I lived there for 5 years. I don't think I went. I walked past it once. But
it's the type of thing you do one time and then you're kind of over it.
Yeah, how many times can you eat a beaver tail and be cold? It's just not that.
Exactly.
It's not that vibe.
You can get beaver tails all year, so it doesn't matter.
Facts, Kellerman. All right, have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Wow.
Yeah, Ottawa's great. Shout out to Carlton. Shout out to, you know, the real ones out there.
Shout out to Byward Market.
Shout out to the Byward Market.
Obama was there.
He got a cookie at some cafe. Nobody goes there. That's not where, like, that's not where locals go.
They have food from different parts of the world. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah. They do have food from, like, mouth cities have food from different places.
Fair enough. all right, before we get to the next call, let's take another KFC hotline.
Who do we have? We'll talk to Jabbercash. All right, Jabbercash, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's just Jabbercash. I've been a big fan of the pod. I just have one question for you guys. So when the Raptors make the playoffs, what do Nick Nurse and the Raptors have to do in order to get past Giannis and the Bucks? But this time, without Kawhi. Thanks.
We talked about this. Win the games. I think that's job one. Win 4 games against the Bucks.
Mm-hmm. You know, slip laxatives.
So on Run It Back, I was asked, like, what are your predictions for this season?
Mm-hmm.
It was like one serious one, jokey one. It's like the Milwaukee Bucks are going to go to WrestleMania. It's the same day as they play a game in Boston.
Oh, yes, I heard this.
And, like, some BS is going to happen. It screws over their season. Maybe that's what we need to have happen.
Yeah, I mean,
beating the Bucks is going to be hard.
It's going to be very hard. Someone's got to guard Giannis.
As presently constructed, I don't see a way for the Raptors to do it. They can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there isn't an answer yet. The answer is do something.
OG has to, like, legitimately come out as, like, an all-world type of defender.
Yeah.
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 But you know what, though? Again, I don't want to harp too much on the All-Star game. Offensively, fourth quarter, you know, Giannis is amazing the first 3 quarters, mm-hmm. like, dunking the ball. I mean, he had so many two-handed dunks. I don't know why I didn't switch, like, a one-hand dunk at some point. This man was like Derrick Jones Jr. in the dunk contest. Just same dunk over
same
and
dunk over.
Over
and over again. Justice for Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. I think Aaron Gordon has, like, 850s. Yeah, 2 dunk contests.
It's crazy.
Somehow he's not
the thing
it
is,
might be more. It might
the
be
thing
10.
Is, there should be, like, Adam Silver should be, like, the commissioner's call. He's like, no, this dunk wins. It's over. When he did the one
get
with Markel Fultz bounces off the side of the backboard.
Whoa, that's windmill
three. It's all time dunk.
Yeah, and it looks so good.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
can't
it's
believe.
Not someone jumping over Slomo and putting the ball between his legs. So I'm so tired of that dunk, man.
Yeah, it's very, very.
I'm tired of it. But
you just find someone unique and then you dunk over, and they're like, "Oh, 50 points."
Yeah, yeah. And, like, anyway, whatever. 2016, I was okay with, to be honest.
Yeah, it was competitive.
I thought Zach LaVine was really great, and I thought Derrick Jones Jr. is really great. Any other year against any other guy, Derrick Jones Jr. is going to win, and we're not going to complain.
Yeah.
But this year, yeah, he was unfortunate. He dunked over Taco Fall. The guy's 7'5". People were like, well, he didn't really clear him. It's like, bro, he's 7'5". What are we talking about?
No,
here,
I totally agree.
You're like,
you.
Oh, Vince Carter didn't really clear Frederick Weiss, who was like 7'2". Like, get out of here, man. Yeah, in terms of how to beat the Bucks, I mean, OG's just got to, you know, become Ron Artest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
like,
pretty much
like
it.
Defensively, not the rest of the stuff.
No, he needs to name his, call himself Panda Lover. What did he name his name to?
The Panda Friend.
The Panda Friend.
The Panda Friend.
That's what.
We change your name to The is crazy.
We need OG to become the Panda Friend.
All right.
we have Tommy in Toronto. on line two to talk about Markieff Morris. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. First time caller, long time listener, and Will, that turtleneck, bro, looks like a fruit roll up.
It does, actually. It really does. I appreciate it.
I don't know if you remember me, but you met me at Phoenix Concert.
Yeah, that's right. That was, I think Sid was playing.
I believe so.
Yep.
Okay, my question is simple, actually. It's about this Markieff issue that I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a positive.
It's not.
I mean, if we got him, would it be a positive?
It looks like he's going to the Lakers, so this issue might be sidestepped.
Twin brothers down there, too. I mean, they always wanted to play together, even after Phoenix anyway.
Yeah, they will share one locker just between the two.
Yeah.
One locker with a tunnel running in between.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really want a situation where Markieff is obviously the inferior player right now between
Markieff. What happened?
I don't understand. Markieff used to be much better than Marcus, yeah. And now Marcus is much better than Markieff. It really does lend to the theory that they just switched jerseys and no one even knows. Like, what
no,
if all...
I think it's the Detroit water. I really do.
Oh,
no,
that's a good point.
Wow. Well, he's not drinking any water in LA.
It saps careers. I mean, it rejuvenated Derrick Rose for like 5 minutes, but that's about it.
Yeah, what do you get with Markieff Morris that you don't get with Serge Ibaka right now?
That's the thing. Like, at best, he's going to be a bench guy for the Lakers, and I don't think the Lakers need another big man. They needed another guard who can create. Set up plays who isn't Rajon Rondo.
I'm amazed that Dennis Schroeder didn't get. It's like
he played too well.
Yeah, it's
too
bad.
He's too good now, and OKC wants to compete. So
OKC's in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're kind of nice.
No, they're good. They're good.
Yeah,
I think at the beginning of the season, it was like Schroeder will be a trade piece, and then he played himself into a regular rotation spot.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, man. It's buyout market is cool because you're getting a guy for free, but generally speaking, those guys are not good, and Markieff Morris is not been good.
They're guys you can get for free.
Hit on the buyout market anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho.
I mean, we got Jeremy Lin last year, and I got excited, but aside from that, like...
We're going to have to forgive you for that one, because even I got excited about your excitement, and now he's got a ring, and he's in China, and hopefully has escaped coronavirus.
He's not in China.
No.
He's
they took him out.
Oh, they took him out.
Yeah.
No, he just left. He's like, I'm good, love.
Well,
enjoy.
Yeah, they
suspended the season.
The Chinese government paused everything in China, basically, so the CBA was put on hold.
Yeah.
So.
And
he could sign it back for another season.
Yo, relax. I'm good, man.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. But, you know, in the NBA, but not the Raptors.
Did he? Okay. All right.
Look, man,
You know what he should do? He should probably go to, like, one of the Western Conference teams as a Trojan horse?
Mm. Yeah, the Lakers could use a playmaking guard.
Lakers could use a playmaker, I'm just saying.
Look, the last time the Lakers had a Chinese guy on the roster, they won the championship.
That's
true. Sun Yue.
No, that's a lie. The last time it was Jeremy Lin.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
But before that.
Oh my god.
Before that. Yeah, that's right. Remember Swaggy P and Kobe was clowning him. Jeremy, you didn't deserve that, man. You didn't deserve that. All right. That's not fair of you. Come on, you're running pick and rolls with Jordan Hill. That's not fair. And
yeah,
Carlos Boozer.
Man, the Lakers really were in some crazy
Robert
times.
Robert Sacre.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lakers were ass for a while, but now they're good again. It's unfortunate.
Shout out.
Clutch.
It's nice to have a good Lakers.
Really
team.
Happy with Robert Sacre being that one dude from Canada that played on the Lakers.
Yeah,
and he was riding the bench so hard you could see it in his butt cheeks. It was crazy.
All right, Tommy.
Tommy, have a good weekend.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, no problem.
It's good to link up again.
Peace.
All right.
You met that guy at a Sid concert?
Yeah, me and my partner were at a Sid concert, and he was security, and he recognized me. He's like, "Yo, you know, I messed with the pod," and also it was like 2016, so you know, Tommy, a day one kind of guy.
Yeah, no, seriously. That's like right when the RR show started.
It was around that
time. Not long after.
Yeah.
All right, we have Mark in Brooklyn to talk about the playoffs. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. So I wanted to ask you guys, who do you think will lead the Raptors, and how far do you think they're going to make it?
Who will lead them?
Yeah, who do you think is going to lead them, and how far do you think they're making it?
Kyle Lowry is going to lead this team to the Eastern Conference Finals in a competitive series. That can go either way.
I think it's pretty clear that Kyle's the leader of the team.
Yeah, for sure.
But the thing is with the Raptors is it's not like a super young team. Like, obviously, they're a team with all the guys that are relevant having finals experience and championship experience. So they probably don't need a guy to lead them in the same way. But it's clear Kyle is the galvanizing figure on this team. And the only issue with Kyle doing that is that as good as a player as Kyle is, he's just not the type of guy, because of his physical limitations, to close games for you. And so you need a guy who can really close games at a very high level. We saw Kawhi do that at a very, very high level last year, and they won the championship. DeMar was able to do that and get him through a certain point, but then his limitations became clear.
Yep.
And now it's Pascal's turn to be the number one guy, and we got to see if Pascal can do it. His development is something that, you know, I mean, it depends on what you want to lead. If you know, leadership is the guy who, you know, gets the team rallies around, who starts comebacks, who sort of sets the tone, that's definitely Kyle. Or if you want to call leadership what Kawhi did last year, which is to get you a bucket when you really, really need it.
Yep.
And in that sense, it's probably going to need Pascal to step up on that front. And
Pascal showed flashes. Earlier today, that tweet, a tweet of Pascal's bucket at the end of Game 6 is going around. Yeah, he hit a very clutch shot over Draymond Green.
Yeah.
That kind of sealed the game.
I don't know what Draymond was doing on that play.
Yeah, he gambled for no reason. But he does that all the time.
He swiped so hard for the ball. He made a hero ball play on defense, which I've actually never seen before. And he failed. Like, he really failed. So shout out Draymond, man.
Yeah, shout out to Draymond one time.
Yeah.
Olympic year, big year from Draymond.
Oh, my God. Yo, what did Charles Barkley say about Draymond? He's averaging a triple single right now. That's a bar. That was unfortunate, but it's true.
Yep.
Yeah, Draymond Green. I'm sure they'll be back next year, but.
You guys still there?
Yeah, we're here. You can't hear us?
Yeah, so
we were just chit-chatting amongst ourselves.
If you know, if they were to face off in the first round, you know, where do you see them? Brooklyn versus Toronto.
Well,
I mean, we're beating you guys in probably five, six games. Well, but my big question is, how do you feel about Kyrie right now?
Listen, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm pissed off. You know, we were expecting the world, and you know,
and the world was flat.
Oh my God. Yeah. Thomas Friedman over here.
I think the Bucks. A month ago, I wasn't afraid of the Bucks at all. Mm-hmm. The last month, they played really well. I'm still not. I still think the Raptors win, and it's not super competitive. Not super dramatic. It could be competitive. But yeah, they've played some pretty good basketball the last month.
To be honest with you, I think the Nets could pull through versus the Raptors.
Oh, okay.
In the first round of the playoffs,
why though?
Yeah, I think they will.
Why?
If that ends up being the matchup, I think they will pull through.
Who guards Pascal? Just curious.
I put Torian Prince.
Bro, Torian Prince is... Nah, Pascal's averaging 30 against Torian Prince. I'm sorry. Like, you got to double team him.
I mean, you could put Wilson Chandler on him.
Wilson Chandler? This guy... Is he going to get another 25 games?
The Nets are 9-17 on the road. What makes you think that they can go well and win multiple games in Toronto?
I'm going to be honest. Spencer Dinwiddie's been playing amazing. All
right.
Harris DeVert, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Harris has not been consistent this season until right before the All-Star break.
That's true.
You know, he stepped up his game.
Mm-hmm. Now, I like Harris. He's probably the best one-on-one scorer. Spencer is probably the best offensive player off the pick and roll. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I, you know, it's not even biased. So just, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie.
Who's in Karis Levert.
Yeah. Maybe six games.
What'd you say?
What happened? What'd you say?
I said maybe six. I mean, you know, Spencer gets hot one game, Karis gets hot one game, but. Yeah, it might be similar to that Brooklyn's in that Orlando Magic series. So the thing is, like, I don't think offensively Brooklyn's that good, and defensively, I think the Raptors can really turn the screws on certain teams.
Yeah,
you know.
And what do you think about next year if KD and Kyrie will, you know, the whole team?
That's very different. That's very different. We're talking about this year.
Yeah,
next year, you know, you guys are gonna be a real problem next year.
The future happens when the future happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's good to see KD on the mend. He looks nice. He looks good.
Yeah, I'm rooting for KD, man. I feel bad for that guy.
Yeah, really he does, man. I hope he could, you know, lift up Kyrie.
Oh, come on, man. Kyrie, I mean, look, he's just taking the year off because he doesn't want to play without KD.
Kyrie's had,
tough year. The worst, bro.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
Right. He's going to have a good time working with the players' union.
Mm.
Yeah, all right.
All right,
I'm
going to
go.
All right, I think.
All right.
All right, JJ.
All right, peace. I really wanted to scream fuck Brooklyn and hang up on that guy, but
he
was pretty polite.
You know, I remember a time when you are at a point with your franchise where you're excited about everything.
Yeah.
Start lying to yourself about
it. Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, look, I think Brooklyn is a nice story. And next year, they're going to be a real, real problem.
They're going to be a
this
problem.
This current year, I don't see it.
No. What do you say that he wanted the world and the world was flat?
Oh, my God. That was a good line, man. A very good
Shout out to the Brooklyn Nets one time.
Yeah.
Let's do the last of our KFC hotline calls. We have
Jabbercash Part 2.
Part 2 on
the yellow.
The yellow score.
There we go.
So in free agency 2021, if Giannis does consider Toronto as a good team to go to, what other teams would he also consider and why? Thanks. Peace.
I think it's pretty standard. You know, NBA free agents, they're a little bit predictable in terms of what meetings they take.
Yep.
Like KD took, what, 6 meetings when he was in free agency? He obviously went to Golden State. He met with Golden State. He met with OKC.
Met with Boston.
Apparently Tom Brady was there along with Kelly Olynyk, which is a hell of a pitch. Gotta say, a guy who doesn't play basketball and Kelly Olynyk. And, you know, he met with the Clippers, I believe.
I don't remember this.
Briefly. And, you know, a couple other teams. I think he met maybe with New York. But I think, honestly, like, the Lakers are probably going to be a situation that's there. They have one of
Golden State's going to be able to.
They have one of his brothers
yep.
in Los Angeles right now to sort of give him some reports and things like that. So. You know, obviously, and they're the Lakers. Like, they're going to have Anthony Davis. I don't know if LeBron's still going to be around. Maybe, but we'll see. And, you know, that's a pretty appealing situation. You know,
LeBron's going to be the principal of the I Promise School by 2021.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wow. Lakers, Golden State, I could see it. I could maybe see someone entertaining something with the Knicks. Just
the Miami Heat.
Everyone takes a meeting with the Knicks and then just leaves. And they're like, I'm good.
They're just getting a connecting flight.
Everyone looks and they're like,
I can't do it.
Yeah.
They fly to New York and then they just got to wait to go down to Miami.
Yeah.
You can't fly direct from Milwaukee to Miami. It's a layover.
Just take a layover in
New York.
You
just hang out with James Dolan for an hour. He takes out, you know, his guitar and you're like, all right, I got to go. Sorry.
Does he play the kazoo?
I could care less.
Fair enough. He's really like a billionaire street musician.
Yeah.
Actually, that's insult the street musicians, to be honest. There's some pretty good ones.
Do you want to take these last two calls, or do you want to wrap up?
Let's take the last two calls. Let's do it, man.
Okay, let's do it.
What else we got to do? I mean, I got to go to see the Phoenix Suns. I could wait.
We have Puria from Richmond Hill. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys? I love your show. I've been trying to get on for months now.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's a good thing that we took these last two calls.
Wow.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, my question was that how would Siakam play against the Celtics and his overall face-up game? Because I watch every single game, and all he does is post up or they run pistol action for him. He's never really getting screens or he's always in the post. I want to know if he can make his own offense in that playoff setting.
That's a big question. I think early in the season, he did a lot more face-up.
Yeah, I agree.
There was a game that he played against the Celtics where he hit 5 threes, hit a lot of pull-up threes in that game.
Yeah.
That was like game 2 of the season, I believe. There was a game against the Pistons where, I mean, whatever, it's the freaking Pistons, but like he like faced up and he went at guys. I feel like as his jumper has sort of slipped away from him as the course of the season has gone on, as he's gotten more tired, the jumper hasn't been there for him as much. And if the jumper's not there for you face-up-wise, what are you really going to do? Like he's not really going to be like a face-up guy without a jumper is like Julius Randle. He's not going to be Julius Randle. So he's been going back to the post-up a little bit more just because it's a little bit more reliable. But I do want to see Pascal, hopefully after this break,
he's got
his legs under him. He get more reps in terms of the shooting. And he return to that face-up game. Because I really do believe you need a face-up game to be a closer in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's a big question. But whether he could score on the Celtics, I mean, I'm actually okay with him posting up the Celtics wings. I think he can do that and score consistently on that front. The Celtics is not necessarily a matchup I'm concerned with. The backup thing is like if he's only backing down guys and then you're playing Milwaukee and you're trying to back down Giannis with Brook Lopez helping at the rim as a 7-footer, that might go really poorly for you.
Same thing with Philadelphia, that if he's not able to reliably go to his jumper, then you're going to have some problems getting – you're going to back down Tobias Harris and turn around and there's Joel Embiid. Like it's not cute.
Mm-hmm. Now, in an overall seven-game series, do you take Pascal or Tatum? Because Tatum has that face-off game. It's just a matter of him being efficient.
Yeah, and then Tatum's just not – doesn't do it all the time, but he's definitely on a tear right now. We saw what he did to the Clippers before the All-Star break. Yeah.
I'd probably still take Pascal.
I'll still take Pascal. Just because I think there's a more guaranteed kind of – like, I feel more confident with a Pascal post-up than I would with a Jason Tatum trying to cross a guy up and pulling up. But I don't know. The gap is definitely closed from where the start of the season was, where I thought definitively Pascal was better than Tatum, and I think Tatum is taking steps, and I congratulate him for it. You know?
Yeah, he's definitely...
Yeah, because he's a defensive player now. Like,
yeah.
Crazy when I watch him.
That's surprising. That part is surprising, but I still got my guy Pascal right now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, guys.
Right. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Thanks for all the support.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have... Kazim in Brooklyn on line two. Kazim, welcome to the show.
How many of the Brooklyn fans?
Hey, how y'all doing?
A lot of Brooklyn today.
We're good, man.
Fuck Brooklyn.
All right.
I'm bringing that energy. You know, just
gotcha.
You live somewhere, but you're not a Brooklyn Nets fan.
Okay, good. Okay. I was going to say, how many Brooklyn Nets fans are in Brooklyn?
Are paying attention to a Raptors podcast? Like,
I was actually at the game before the break, and there was about five in the
stands. Cool.
Sick.
My question for you all is, what do you think the path is to get to 60 wins, and do you think it's realistic?
It's a little bit tough just because the schedule is a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
If they had Mark and Norm fully healthy for the actual stretch run here, I would say it's totally possible. They just need to maintain their current win percentage. But they got a pretty tough month of March. They got a couple of difficult games coming up here against Indiana, against Milwaukee. And it's not like out of this world difficult, but... I think the Raptors might fall a little bit short of 60 again. Like it's probably going to be like 58 or 57 or something like that.
I also think that the Raptors, the franchise, is more focused on that second seed than they are on 60 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the Celtics' recent success is going to sustain the next 2 months to really push both teams towards 60 wins.
And also, Nick Nurse overplayed Kemba Walker, so Kemba has get his knee drained. Great job, Nick Nurse, man. You just really sealed the Coach of the Year right there, buddy.
Yeah, so I think the Raptors, as an organization, are more interested in the second seed than 60 wins. So I don't think they're going to need it, and therefore I don't think they're going to get it.
Yeah, they had to go, what, like 20 and 7?
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's
tough. They got some tough games coming up, man.
Brutal.
Yo, there's a stretch where they play like Denver, and then the Lakers, and then like the Bucks, and then some. Yeah,
then the Knicks. It ends with the Knicks.
But, and we're about to get the Warriors about to have Steph back, and we might play them twice with Steph.
Is Steph? He's coming. He is coming back.
Listen, man. Does Steph want to see Fred VanVleet? Are you sure?
Boxing one.
You want to see Fred VanVleet? I think we know how to guard Steph now.
Yeah, just start yelling janky at him.
Yeah, Steph's gonna be complaining. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for Draymond to, you know, actually average assists now. He's just been passing it off to Alec Burks.
Yeah. But Andrew Wiggins is going to play well in Toronto. He never does.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
When has Andrew Wiggins ever had a good game in Toronto?
What about the time he dunked on Poeltl?
Did they win that game?
No. It's Andrew Wiggins played. What are you talking about, man?
He sat out the last time the...
Andrew Wiggins lost to the Venezuelans, all right? All right, in a must-win going to the Olympics, Andrew Wiggins lost to Venezuela without Griffiths Vasquez.
Yeah, that's yikes.
Respect the Venezuelan team for that, but also, like, I've lost a lot of respect after Andrew Wiggins after that point.
Calvin, do you think that they'll go for 60 wins?
I'm with you all. I think it would be fun. It would be a nice record to get. But now that we've won a championship, I don't think it matters as much.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, I would have been excited to hit 60. It would have been a great regular season accomplishment.
That seems like a real Dwayne Casey accomplishment.
As a franchise.
Yeah,
there you go.
Agreed.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
All right, peace. All right, well, you know what time it is. A segment like no other.
Oh, my God.
Stanley Suggestions.
Yeah, why don't you lead it off?
I'll start. Yeah. Yours is really good this week.
Okay.
Stanley, I'm going to suggest that you check out Tory Lanez, a rapper from Brampton, very famous now. Chixtape 5 came out earlier this year. He's going to be performing, or last summer, he's going to be performing at the Ricoh Coliseum on Sunday, the 23rd of February. Hopefully there he exposes Interscope Records, as he's promised for months. Ben knows what I'm talking about. Tory Lanez at the Ricoh Coliseum on the 23rd of February.
I sang the national anthem at the Ricoh Coliseum once.
You sang at what, a Toronto Coyotes game?
As Ben knows, the Hilltop had a two choirs,
What is it? What's the name of that?
There was a chamber choir and then another choir. But anyway, yeah, I was part of the choir that sang before Marley's game. And that was the one time in my life I've seen a hockey game. It was actually really fun. Anyway, my Stanley suggestion is not to go watch the Marlies, because I don't know why we would have two recommendations at Rico. My recommendation is, hey, listen, the G League is expanding to Mexico City soon, and there's a lot of great places in Mexico City. I'm just going to, you know, just tip it off. The Museum of National Anthropology in Mexico City. It's actually one of the greatest museums I've ever been to. I love going to museums. I've been not all over the world, but I've been quite a few places, and like, this museum is incredible. Like, it's probably like, I don't know, man, it'll probably take you 5 hours to go through all the rooms. There's like two levels. There's a beautiful like waterfall in the middle of it. It's phenomenal if you want to learn about, you know, Aztec history, mm-hmm. Incan history, Mayan history. You know, not all those are in Mexico, but it is just a great museum for that, you know, that history that, you know, it's at least in North America is not necessarily spoken about as much in sort of Canada and the United States. And so I definitely learned about that. I think it was a really, really cool exhibit. And honestly, just go to Mexico City in general, man. This place is amazing, you know?
Can enjoy
Don't just go straight to the beach. Like, don't just go to Cancun, get a sunburn, and then come back. Like, actually go to Mexico City, because it is really amazing. And from Toronto, it's only like a 4.5-hour flight.
That's pretty good.
You know, maybe don't take the overnight 1 a.m. flight like I did, but, you know.
I still can't get over you performing at a Kiwanis music festival.
Hey, listen, I was also at Kiwanis, all right? Shout out Kiwanis.
Shout out Kiwanis one time.
Yeah, MCI was great.
All right.
Hilltop, not so much.
YouTube comments, and then we'll let you go. Tyler Ball, watching from Canley, the United Kingdom. That's great. I don't know what Canley is. Is it? Read the question, and I'll look up where Canley is.
All right. Go Raps. Tell Will we got Zara here, too, if he wants to visit. Okay. I will go places that have Zara. Yeah. There was a Zara in Mexico City. I walked past.
Did you go in?
No, it was closed.
Canley's in Coventry, in Southwest Coventry. So shout out to Coventry one time.
Yeah.
The Coventry Massive. All right. Next, okay. Bo Jackson. Thanks for always writing in, Bo. Raptors will set a new franchise record in home wins with 10 against the Pacers and tie a franchise record with 9 tonight against the Sun.
Oh, in a row. Consecutive. Because they lost in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Sure. Great. Let's do it. I'm excited.
Shout out to the Raps.
Yeah. It's hard to win at Scotiabank. AJB asks, are team dynamics better this year versus last year? I think it's definitely a lot less awkward. You know, they're not sidestepping Kawhi as much, but also last year's awkwardness was fully worth it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got over it in the middle of the year. It was just a difficult situation because a new guy comes in and he's the number one guy and he's so, like, he acts different than everyone else and he has different treatment than everyone else. And it's a little tough to get over that. But
you know what's probably great for the team's athletic staff? They don't have to go reorganize the weight room after, like, games, because that must have been very annoying.
Oh, my God.
Imagine, like, you prepare for a game and then you get to go home, you do give guys treatment, like, the weight room's a mess. You got to straighten it up.
Yeah.
It was cool that Kawhi was working out during games, but still.
Yeah.
It's a small benefit.
Remember when people were, the whole Kawhi freakout was incredible in terms of just like, where is he during games? How is he not there supporting his players? Yo, this stuff does not matter, I promise you.
Arshanan, what do you guys feel about the Raptors' all-defensive team chances? Mm. Come on, Lowry drew a charge in the All-Star game. That's got to be a shoo-in. All-defense second.
Honestly,
team?
Lowry has... In terms of merit, does have a good chance to get in the All-Star game. The All-NBA defense team. Will they actually give it to him? They don't think they hype him like that. That's the weird thing. I don't think that any individual guy in the Raptors defensively gets hyped that much. Like, Pascal gets his fair share, and he leads the league in contested threes, and that's cool. But, you know, are people saying he's one of the best defenders in the world? No. OG is actually like the best individual defender on the team for talking one-on-one.
Yep.
But he doesn't really get hyped like that either.
Yeah. No.
There might be a chance. None of the Raptors get on the All-NBA defense team. And that's tough because, like, man, I think Kawhi got it last year on the second team, but how many Raptors have ever made the All-Defensive team? I don't think any other than Kawhi. And we've had some pretty good defenders here, but...
I feel like Antonio Davis when you're actually done.
Anyway, and the last question from Bernard Chan while you're looking up Antonio Davis and the all-defensive team. Maybe Doug Christie, look up that too. Yeah. Terrence Davis, the second in the playoffs, what's his role? You know, as a guy who comes in when the Raptors are, they give him 2 minutes to see if he's hot. If he makes 2 threes, then maybe they keep playing him. But I actually do think his role is going to be a little diminished, only because you're only going to play like a 7-man rotation, 8-man rotation. And I don't know if he cracks Nick Nurse's top eight. He's like half the time he's eight along with Pat McCaw, but they might actually play McCaw more.
Doug Christie was all defensive second team in 1 year. No, never with the Raptors. Only when he was in Sacramento.
Wow.
TD2's role in the playoffs, he can like operate with the second unit. He will not be allowed to dribble in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
he's going to be Danny Green.
It'll be tough. And it'll probably be his moments are going to come at home more than anything else. I think
yeah.
You know, it just chances are pretty good that you feel more comfortable with that. Anyway, thanks to everyone for listening to the show. We have a small announcement to make. The show will be moving times.
Moving times.
Yeah, so we are going from Friday to Monday.
Everybody's got to get ready for the stretch run.
Yeah, and listen, Monday I think it's a good time. You know, you have obviously events that happen on the weekend.
Yep.
And so, you know, Friday's cool, but we're going to shift to Monday at 6 p.m. It's still going to be found at the same place. You can watch on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page. And yeah, me and Josh will be here. So we'll have a very, very short break, and we'll be back at you on Monday. So please continue to call in. We're going to start on February 24th. In the meantime, Josh, anything else?
No.
Shout out KFC.
Shout out KFC. Salute to the sponsor.
Yep.
Shout out to the team in the studio putting it together. And we'll be back in a week, in 4 days. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Yeah, we'll be back right after the weekend.
Peace.
Yeah, we're good.
Very cool.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.